Well, it's a joy this morning to be able to meet together here and to celebrate God's work in people's lives. We really believe here at the Gospel Chapel that the most important decision you make in life is to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross for you and what he is going to do in your lives and what he's prepared you for is the most important thing. And that every day is a decision and a choice of saying yes to Jesus. I put you first. Next Sunday, I'm going to share from God's word about from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. The Lord knocks on the door of our hearts and he wants in every day to come and dine with us and us with him. But here this morning, as we think about the importance of this decision to receive Christ as Savior, we also know and understand from the scriptures that there's some steps of obedience that we make in order to demonstrate the reality of Christ at work in our hearts and lives. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to start by turning to the book of Romans. And if you've memorized scripture from childhood, you probably have memorized these scriptures. Romans chapter 10. Verse 8, beginning at verse 8, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. Father God, as we are turning to this passage now, we invite you to come and speak to us. Spirit of the living God, bring the word of God alive in our hearts. And Lord, continue to help us and encourage us to follow you and to walk with you, Lord. Like guide us as we look at these scriptures. So Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith and confession. Receiving Christ and then not being ashamed or afraid to speak the reality of what Christ has done and is doing in your life. And according to the direction of our Savior Jesus, one of the ways that we confess that we have received Christ as our Savior and chosen him is by being obedient in the waters of baptism. Christ gave the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, where he said, verse 18, Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We find as Jesus was crucified, died, was buried, but on the third day rose again, he showed himself alive to his followers over the course of 40 days. Then he told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as he ascended into heaven. And then 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And the gospel was launched by that power of the Holy Spirit as people responded to what was happening in the lives of these believers. And so, in Acts chapter 2, as these disciples, these apostles, had received instruction from Jesus and were now living and ministering and preaching and teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, the great crowd that had assembled in Jerusalem were asking, what could this be? What should we do? And I'll pick it up at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, these people who were listening and hearing, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And we find then, as we go through the book of Acts, there's then a number of instances recorded where people were baptized in water as an indication of having received Christ as their Savior. Here in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, converts in Samaria were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized as he was traveling through the desert. In fact, let's turn to that one, Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist comes to this man, this Ethiopian official, who is traveling home from Jerusalem. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, and verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. This is talking about Jesus. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And what was the ultimate question that they needed to address? Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is baptized immediately after he comes to Christ after that experience on the road to Damascus. We find that the whole household of Cornelius is baptized on the very day that they hear the gospel preached by Peter and they receive Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, Lydia of Thyatira and her household are baptized. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, about to end his life when the prison was shaken and all he thought all the prisoners had escaped, only coming to find that the prisoners were there, and Paul and Silas reach out to him, they share the gospel with him, and they present to him that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And there that night, the Philippian jailer and his household were baptized. Believers in Corinth were baptized in Acts 18. Acts 19, the Ephesian disciples were baptized, and so on. So there's lots of evidence in Scripture of people being baptized as an indication of their faith in the Lord. Now, I wanted to take a few minutes this morning just to kind of give some clarification of what we believe here at the chapel from the Word of God, how we practice and believe in baptism. Because certainly there's lots of variety in how people have interpreted, how the churches have interpreted baptism. And I want to just share what we feel, what we hold to as a scripture and a practice here for us. We believe that baptism follows receiving Christ as your Savior. That when you accept Christ, you choose to believe, and that baptism follows. In fact, I have often wondered, and I've said this a little bit lately, myself personally, as I've been reading these, I wonder if water baptism wasn't almost the way that people would indicate that they were receiving Christ. You know, here in evangelical circles, we say you need to pray the sinner's prayer to receive Christ as your Savior. Or you need to come to the front for an altar call to receive Christ as your Savior. But I'm wondering if in these gospel times here in the book of Acts and so on, that baptism immediately followed a person's choice to receive Christ, almost as saying, this is what I'm doing. I am dying to self, and I'm receiving Christ as Savior. It would be wonderful if baptism could follow immediately after anyone accepted the Lord. But it doesn't often happen that way. We're not living right beside a river that's always available, or have the tank full of water. But I believe we see in Scripture that it's often right away they accepted Christ and were baptized. What we believe here at the chapel is that water baptism is an outward expression of an inward transformation that has taken place. This is symbolic here this morning as we go into the waters of baptism, symbolizing several things. First of all, it symbolizes that we identify with Jesus who has died on the cross for our sins. And by going down in the waters of baptism, symbolizing death, we say that we have died with Christ. Our carnal nature, our sin is placed on Christ, and as he died, we die with him. That old part of us, the sin, carnal nature, dies with Christ. But when we rise up out of the water, we are saying that we rise together with Jesus in his resurrection. It's a symbolic act of what has taken place in our hearts already by faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We like to be very clear here that it's not this water in this tank that washes away your sins. Not even if we put Tide in it. It wouldn't wash your sins away. All right? It's Jesus, by his death, his shed blood for us, that washes us clean from our sin. And so we celebrate that this morning. Now, I want to be clear here. I know that there are some folks here who perhaps have come from churches and from congregations where you have been baptized as an infant. And we're not going to make a big issue about that, but we would like to encourage you to consider that once you have now accepted Christ as your Savior, perhaps as an adult, you could still follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. That's what I did. I was raised in a Lutheran home and was baptized just a few days old as an infant. My parents bringing me to the church and the pastor sprinkling me with some water and so on, with the intention that as a Lutheran, when I was in my teens, I would confirm my faith in confirmation, which is what I did. But then the Spirit of God was moving in the community where I grew up, and my parents heard the gospel that and the message of Christ's salvation for them personally, and they received Christ when I was about 14 years old. And then my dad wanted to be baptized as an adult. And I felt in my heart the same thing, that I want to demonstrate by my own choice to be baptized. So my dad and I, we were both baptized as adults the same day in the baptismal tank at a church in Claresoma Pentecostal Church. Now, you need to sort this out before your heart, before the Word of God. But we really want to encourage everyone here, if you have received Christ as your Savior and you haven't been baptized yet, please seriously consider doing that. It's a step of obedience that Christ asked us to follow. And so here this morning, we're going to celebrate together what Jesus has done. So what are the requirements for being baptized? Well, I'd like to break it down very simply. It's what you believe about Jesus. It's primarily what you believe, Jesus, who Jesus is, what he has done for us on the cross. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We believe that he died for the sins of the world on the cross. We believe that Christ comes into our lives when we receive him and open our hearts to him. He makes his dwelling place in us. We believe that Christ in us makes us a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. We believe that Christ gives us the gift of eternal life, and then he gives us a purpose in life as we obey him and follow him until he takes us home to be with him. So what a joy for us to be able to celebrate God's work in people's lives. I ask you here this morning in a very honest way, I don't know everybody here this morning, but I would certainly encourage you, Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you on the cross. And if you haven't received his forgiveness and his mercy and the gift of eternal life, please don't wait any longer. There's no reason to hold back, because Jesus has given his very best for you, but he waits as a gentleman for you to open the door to him. I encourage you, open your heart to Jesus. We'd be wonderful for you to just even leave this place this morning, if you have not received Christ, to do so, to know your sins are forgiven. Well, this morning, as we've planned to have this water baptism, we opened it up, announced it several weeks in advance for anyone who has not been obedient in the waters of baptism to please come and talk to us. And one fella did. And Aaron Klein, who has been coming since last fall, many of you here are aware that we journeyed with Gordana through a very difficult time as she struggled with her own health issues and so on, and eventually passed away on Christmas Eve last December. But along with Gordana came Aaron, and we've been getting to know Aaron and loving and enjoying him more and more. But Aaron has a story to tell of his own walk with the Lord. So what we do here at the chapel, for those who are newcomers, I'm going to invite Aaron to come. He's going to share some of his testimony. And then I'm going to have John come and join me, and he's going to pray a blessing, maybe some scripture for Aaron to encourage him. So Aaron, why don't you come on up here and come and stand here with me. We will forgive you because you're wearing a Saskatchewan t-shirt. I know you have one ally here. Yeah. Come and tell us a bit of your story and why you would like to be baptized today.
Hello. My name's Aaron. This is a 47-year journey for me. I found the Lord when I was in grade one. I went to church faithfully, sometimes up to three times a week, and multiple churches. And then junior high came. And all the evils of friendship and drugs and alcohol. And I wandered away from the Lord. For 47 years, I thought I could do it on my own. And then miraculously, God led me to Gordana. We started a life together, and she wasn't a very religious girl when I met her. She was a practicing witch. But I always had faith. I may not have practiced my faith the way I should have, but I always knew that Jesus died for my sins and that God was in my corner. One day, Gordana asked me to burn some things, and I started burning it, and I asked her, what was I burning? And she told me it was all her black magic. And then I looked at her, and I said, why the sudden change? And she said she was watching a program, and she could feel the Spirit of the Lord come into the room. She got on her knees and prayed for forgiveness. The second she told me that, I thanked God. And that brought me back. I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me for everything. I had a sinful life for 47 years. I did it my way. I thought I didn't need God. But the whole time I really did. And I still struggle every day. It's a struggle. But I know I have God in my corner, and I will not give up. I will continue to do as he tells me. I don't know where I'm going to be in 4 months from now, 3 months from now, but I know that God will be with me, and Jesus will be with me when I make my next step. So I figured, well, time to get baptized. My mother did it. I seen her do it when I was 12 years old. She asked me to, and I said no because I was baptized a Catholic. I thought that meant something, but really it didn't. So here I am today.
Aaron, what a blessing it's been for us to get to know you. And I've got a scripture I want to share with you. I'm going to try to personalize it as best I can. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you, Aaron, through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for a special blessing on Aaron today for this act of obedience, but as going forward, Lord, that you would continue to help him to grow in you as he's opened his heart years ago and now his act of obedience. Lord, I pray that you'll bless him and keep him, and may your face shine upon him and be gracious to him and give him peace, and that he'll grow in you in the coming weeks and months ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to invite the worship team to come and sing another song while we get ready to come in the waters of baptism. Well, it's a joy to be able to celebrate Aaron's obedience in the waters of baptism after all these years. If you can't see where you're at there, if you want to move around, you're welcome to do that. If you need to be able to watch. So Aaron, we'll ask you again, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
And do you want to be obedient now in the waters of baptism in order to honor him in your life?
Yes, I do.
So, Aaron, upon your confession of faith in Christ and your willingness to be obedient to him in these waters of baptism, we are now going to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. If anybody else wants to talk to us about water baptism at some point soon, please do that. We really believe that the Holy Spirit is working in people's hearts and lives for the future here. I'll invite the worship team to come back. They're going to conclude with one more song.